Rack and Fin Radio with Tom P. on 97.3 ESPN.
Tog Bite is just short of ferocious? Oh, striped bass still active in the back, man. SP minnows, Yuzuri crystal minnows, some NLBN plastics. Oh, man, are you fine? Hit those waters. Hit some of those waters that were stocked with trout during October and November. Man, the bites are on. Hey, you're inside Rack and Fin Radio with me, Tom P. Week of December 20th and 21st. And yes, the bird is still the word. Pheasants and quail getting stocked. Hey, for this Tuesday the 23rd, Rack and Fin Radio Central and South. Listen here we go. This is talking ringnecks here. Assiniboine 280, Collier's Mills 170, Manasquan 100. They bumped it from five more birds from 95. Stafford Forge 140, South Zone Dix 105, Glassboro 85, Millville 290, Tuckahoe 95, Winslow 115, and for the bobweights, Greenwood 240. Peasley 240. Now the stock, go to the digest. They're going to be stocking right at, wow, you got still a lot of birds left. Carler Bing, okay, they're stocking less birds. Far less hunting pressure out there. Quality time now. Got a couple of days left. Quality time to enjoy the upland bird hunting. Grab that cup, grab that rebel. We're talking winter bow coming up January 1st. Most challenging time of the year. Grab that cup. Grab that rebel. Be right back. Rack and Fin Radio. Okay, we got a little warm-up going, but bring back that cold, baby. Oh, that was something. Woo.
This is the radio home for Philadelphia Eagles football. The Eagles continue the 2025 season later today in Washington against NFC East rivals, the Commanders.
Back, looking. Here comes the rush. He's running. They got him. They sack him. Nolan Smith. And that could be it for the Commanders.
Eagles Radio Network coverage begins at 4 p.m. Merrill and Mike call all the action starting at 5 p.m. This is where the Eagles play. 97.3 ESPN, South Jersey's Eagles Station. Rack and Fin Radio with Tom P. on 97.3 ESPN.
Hey, you know, various deer seasons are still going on. You have duck season still going on. But coming up in, what, looks like 10 days, 11 days, is the what we consider the most challenging part of the deer seasons is the winter bow season. Now, for the most part, it's going to run the month of January. But in 15 DMZs, it's going to go to February 21st. And remember, this breaks my heart because we were just out there. We saw a couple of big, big bucks, big bodies, and big racks. DMZs 45 and 46, close to winter bow. It was close to permit bow and all this other good stuff. Because that EHD outbreak several years ago. Who knows what's going to be in store for 2026. But join us online right now to some winter bow hunting do's and don'ts. My lovely Dee Marie is pretty successful during the winter bow season. That is her forte. I think in her other life, she was a polar bear or something. She loves the cold. You're not bringing a heater in the blind. Yeah, but babe, you're not bringing a heater in the blind. Okay, that's it. Or she's 17 feet up in the stand. The winter bow season poses challenges in and of itself, and it can be frustrating or it can be very rewarding. Join us on the line right now, longtime friend of Rack and Fin Radio, head of a great organization, president of United Bow Hunters of New Jersey, and damn good bow hunter, if I say so myself, although he's very coy. He's very self-deprecating. Now I'm just okay. It's John Ernle. Johnny, thanks for joining us. How you doing, man?
Hey, Tom, how you doing?
Good. How was your
Thanksgiving? I'm doing great.
How was your Thanksgiving? Everything all right?
Yeah, everything was great. You know, you always eat too much, as always.
Dude, I ate and drank like I was on death row. Guy at the table said, these Marie says, you better get a hose to get it off. Look, he has gravy in his hair. At my age, John, you never know how many you have left. So let it go, brother. Let it go. As we discussed earlier last week, John, the winter bow, it is my lovely Dee Marie's favorite time. I love the winter bow season myself. I remember when it was started. Spearheaded by Bob McDowell, former director, but he was just a wildlife biologist at the Wildlife Management Unit at the time, at back then Fish Game and Shell Fisheries. And I think it was 76. It was the first winter bow season. It was 1 week in length. And it's since blossomed to a month-long thing. Very challenging. It adds a lot of recreation. Not that much really of a harvest when you figure on the overall numbers, but it can be a daunting task. Deer are at their pretty much lowest numbers of the season, and they are on full alert. Even though food, you know, you could be able to bait food scarce, John, I swear, a lot of times they just go almost totally nocturnal. What are you finding out there?
Well, you know what it is. They've been pressured for almost 5 months at that point when winter bow season rolls in. And a lot of people say they go nocturnal. It's not really that they're nocturnal. They've shifted their daylight activity away from pressure. And that's what you got to do is you got to scout a lot in the winter season and find where the pressure isn't. And a lot of times you just move your camera 100 yards and all of a sudden you're getting daylight pictures because that's where the human presence hasn't been.
And, John, there's still plenty of bucks out there. Like I mentioned, the DMs, well, you can't hunt there, 45 and 46. So some big deer was out. I'm just going to say the area of, let's say, Folsom, out where the old bangers used to be. Saw a couple of nice bucks out there. Public land as well. And Atlantic County, Weymouth, Furnace, back in through there. Still plenty of antler around. And it's, and you say, where the hell are these things? Well, as you said, they just shift their times like, it's a survival mode.
They do, because like I said, they've been pressured for 5 months. And one of the big things that I do is a lot of guys get in a routine. They'll bait at 10 o'clock in the morning. They'll go carry their corn in at noontime or whatever. And the deer pattern the hunter at that point.
Wait a second, Erdo. When have we hunted together that you know I do that? He says, what are you doing? Go ahead. I'm sorry.
But that's all right. But what I do as the season gets later and later is I actually bait at night. Is I'll go in and bait them and bump them off at night and stuff. Ooh. And this way I'm staying out during the day and they're not running into the human presence per se. And now all of a sudden you got a lot more daylight deer showing up for when you do get in the stand and get at them. But the winter can be very, very rewarding. My daughter years ago took the number 3 typical in the state during winter bow season.
Wow.
It was 18 degrees out. She's up in a tree stand, snow on the ground, 18 degrees. Everybody else is watching playoff football games.
Good for her.
She killed a big 140-some-inch 10-pointer.
John, do you notice a switch in habitat preference? Now, we had that bitter cold. Got some safe ice finally, but not down here. I'm unfortunately be doing some ice fishing this weekend, hopefully next weekend. I'm in a warm front, just my luck. But, John, a shift in habitat preference based on weather patterns, or is it just, again, survival mode? They're not seeing that much, feeling that much pressure, so they'll loosen up and maybe change a bedding spot. What are you finding?
It's both. It's survival mode. They're going to go to the heavier cover where they feel secure, areas that maybe a storm went through, a lot of blowdowns that they can just get in there and tuck in. And they'll also shift to the cover, a lot of greenbrier, because greenbrier in the winter is one of their favorite foods.
Mm-hmm.
It makes you wonder how to eat it with all the prickers coming out of it.
Oof.
But they do, and they love it. They'll eat the greenbrier down almost to the ground.
No kidding. See, that I never know. In some areas that we hunt, you can't avoid it. The one guy says, you don't bring snips? I said, if I have to bring snips, I ain't going. But, John, again, movement mostly now. You said it can be, again, some of the deer are killed right in midday. So maybe not nocturnal, just shifting, maybe switching hunting hours around. What do you think?
Yeah, you want to shift your hunting hours. And one of the biggest things is, they're especially when it gets very cold, like that cold snap we just had. And I'm not a biologist, but I've talked to different biologists, noted biologists around the country. And it's just like with us, our metabolism changes, the deer's metabolism changes. Over the winter, they like to rest at night because their metabolism speeds up because they're trying to keep warm.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of times you'll catch deer in winter bow season out 10, 11, noontime, when the sun's warm, their metabolism's slower, they can actually put some weight on at that point. They're moving more in the middle of the day at that point. Plus, they feel safer because there's not that much human interaction in the middle of the day.
Well, John, one thing I have to ask you, because I noticed that, we noticed, I should say, more so this fall through that cold snap than I can remember, coyote activity. And by that, I mean the howling, the yelling, the yipping, and several different areas we were hunting. And even I've never heard this many this last, I mean, what's going on? I mean, they're also dodging those critters, correct?
Oh, they're like crazy. And I've noticed since that cold snap hit, oof, all of a sudden I've got an influx of some very large coyotes actually checking the bait piles out. And what that is,
no
is they're
kidding,
just checking for the strongest scent of a deer, or maybe a deer that, you know, took around the buckshot or something, and it's giving off that pheromone that they're a little on the wounded side. And, you know, basically the coyotes are hunting the bait piles for the deer.
Man, they are. I'll tell you, I swear they're born with a PhD, those things. And I believe, John, like crows, they can count. It's something. We heard something. We were going into the stand. It was probably an hour before legal shooting time, and heard some movement. It was obviously a deer. I said, babe, if that was a coyote, you wouldn't hear it. You would not hear it. They're like ghosts, you know, when they're gone. But boy, when they opened up about a half hour after legal shooting time, I'm wondering, did they have a kill or did they find some carrion or something? But they were nonstop for about 15 minutes, and then the serenade was over. But you wondered, did that send out the alarm to deer in the area? Because we saw a squat. Oh, that was tough.
Well, a lot of times when they open up like that is they do have a kill, or they come across a carcass, and they're really calling the rest of their group to come feed. And when they get yipping like that, the deer know that that the coyote are in the area, but then they know they're ultra active. And I really do think that the deer kind of hunker down and avoid that area.
Yeah, now fix it. Hey, Jerome, I'm against a heartbreaker and hang in for another segment. Join us online is John Ernle, president, United Boneless in New Jersey. Some more on do's and don'ts in the next segment. And also a little bit of history on this outstanding organization, United Bow Hunters in New Jersey. Grab that cup, grab that Red Bull. Be right back. Rack and Fin Radio.
Football Sunday on ESPN Radio.
We have to win out to get in the playoffs. To win the division, we have to win out. And we know that.
The Tampa Bay Buccaneers and the Carolina Panthers tied for first place in the NFC South. And they go head-to-head in Charlotte this weekend.
We know what's in front of us right here with the Bucs. We have to be able to focus on this opponent this week.
The Panthers at the Buccaneers.
It's NFL Sunday on South Jersey's classic rock station, Rock 104.1. Coverage begins at 1 p.m. Rack and Fin Radio with Tom P. on 97.3 ESPN.
Hell yeah, back inside Rack and Fin Radio with me, Tom P. Week of December 20th and 21st. Get all fired up for the upcoming winter bow season. Got plenty of winter bow hunting, or plenty of deer hunting, rather, going on now, muzzle shotgun, whatever. But again, except in those DMZs in the digest check, where the season's going to go to the 21st, you basically have 31 days in January. Very challenging time of year. Deer numbers are at their lowest. They're on high alert. Cover's sparse. It's a trying time, especially when you get to the weather and the deer behavior. Again, we're back with Johnny Ernle, president of the Great United Bow Hunters in New Jersey. John, again, we discussed off the air, very challenging stuff to do. I want to get a little bit later into the clothing, some of the techniques. One of the keenest things on the deer senses right now that you observe during the winter bow season, again, any kind of movement like, whoa, you know, they're really super attuned, correct?
Oh, absolutely, because you know what it is. There's lack of cover in the trees, so it's very hard for you to hide. And, I mean, 100 yards out, they will pick out the slightest movement that's out of place to them. You know, they know their surroundings better than we do. And if you're not very slow, methodical, try to get yourself in a group of trees, you know, something to help break up, you know, that movement, they're going to pick you off.
Yeah, John, I'll tell you, and I learned that deer look up. That's been years. They look up, especially since what you said earlier in the show, they've been pursued now for going on 5 months.
Oh, so, they've been pursued for 5 months, absolutely. Mm-hmm. And I'm finding late season, I really prefer to ground blind over a tree stand. Number one, it helps keep you out of the wind a little bit. But it really covers up your movements a lot. And, you know, if you're in a spot where you can actually leave the ground blind up, they get used to it very quick, like a part of the woods, and they don't even look twice at it.
Well, John, let me ask you this. Again, if we froze, my lovely Demery, no need for a heater. This is it, but no need for a heater. And we've hunted with heaters, blinds with heaters, and without heaters. We've had deer you know, we were able to take deer with the heater on because people say, oh, some of the guys, you know, oh, the scent, they could smell, you know, whatever, fumes, whatever. And then other times, I'm dog sometimes about using a heater in the blind, again, because of the scent factor. Again, but we kill deer from a ground blind with the heater on. Your opinion, on the scent factor when it comes to that?
I think it doesn't matter if you're using a heater or not. If you've got the wind in your favor, you could go into that blind smelling like diesel fuel, and they're not going to smell you. But if the wind is in their favor, I don't care how much you shower, what kind of clothes you use. If you're not using a heater, deer are going to smell you. They know you're out of place. And like we talked about, with being pursued for 5 months already, mm-hmm. these deer are on red alert. Any little human scent, any scent out of the ordinary, they're gone. So the best thing you can do is just make sure you got the wind in your advantage.
Well, this is next segment later on in the show is going to be Ron Jones. We're talking about scenting. Again, the second rut, little non sequitur there, but sort of tied in. Well, Erdl, let me give you an example. Last January, I guess it was about the first or second week, we were hunting out by Cherry Hill. It was one of those days, Erdl. The wind was changing direction, seemed like every 5 minutes. It was insane. And the deer came by, and we had plenty of cover scent on, but you never really eliminate, you know, human scent. Some deer from the one section, we saw them through at probably about 75, 80 yards, turn tail, boom. Other ones came right by, predicated on, where the wind is blowing. When you have situations like that, you don't know what's going to happen.
No, you just kind of got to ride it out. If you got a variable wind and it's shifting all over the place, like you said, you're going to have one group coming in from a certain direction that might smell you, and then a group come in from another direction that the wind ends up being in your favor, and you get away with it. And one thing I have noticed, in areas of high human population where deer are, you know, in developments a lot, on the edge, that there is a little degree of human scent that they will put up with. So if you can smell like you were there 4 or 5 hours ago, you'll get away with a little more.
Yeah, they're really key. But check this out. Where we were, it was 295, whatever, behind us. Planes were coming over, I guess, going into Philly. You could see them up in the windows. And then we heard a train engine. I said, it's like planes, trains, and automobiles, deer hunting. And the wind was blowing one side. It was coming north, and it was coming west. It was a crazy situation. No, we saw deer. My lovely Dee Marie opted not for a shot. It was chancy. I'm sure she could have taken, but she'd rather, you know, again, it was late afternoon. Trailing at night just is not the way to go, especially with, you know, coyotes out there. But anyway, John, second, I want to know, will a blind manufacturer call me and tell me why you make such small openings in blinds, especially for guys my size? Ernie, you have to see me. I go one on hand. Did you ever see those blind, the little back going on my hands and knees? Denise is pushing me from behind. She calls me Randy, the kid from Christmas Story, because I'm all bundled up like a freaking, you know, I look like a walrus. But...
I'm right there with you, Tom. I mean, I'm 6'2", and they're not easy to climb into, although there is a couple of blind manufacturers now that are making a blind called the garage door blind, which is made for us, I think.
Hold it. I'm writing that down. Dee Marie, got a new birthday or Christmas present for you. Garage door blind. But, John, on a more serious note, the clothing factor when it comes to affecting a shot. Again, you're dressed in layers, but you know, you have a lot of clothes on it. It's tough. You get noise factor too. You got a hand warmer to crinkle, whatever, and they're going to. Clothing can play a role in accuracy, can it not?
Oh, absolutely. The more bundled up you are, the more chance of, especially if you're shooting a compound or a recurve or, you know, the string coming in contact with your arm, you know, your chest. Because you're not used to shooting with that amount of clothing on. And a tip that was given to me years ago, many years ago, by Mike Fairbanks from A&M Archery.
He's up in Lakewood. The guy in Lakewood.
Yep. To shorten your draw length by a half inch, because you can shoot a bow accurately shorter. You can't really shoot one accurately longer. But by that shortening that half inch helps keep the contact to a minimum, and it'll not affect your shot. And I've been using that for years, ever since he does. You know, he told me about that. When winter bow season rolls around, I go from 28.5-inch draw to 28-inch draw, and I've never had an issue.
Okay, joining us on the line is John Erndl, President, United Bow Hunters of New Jersey. Outstanding organization. We're going to get to that in a minute. John, your choice, mechanical or fixed heads, and why?
I'll tell you the truth. I think as long as your bow is tuned and you shoot accurately, you can shoot either, and they're both very effective. The only thing I say with the mechanicals, you're getting some are 2.5-inch cut now. If you do make that marginal shot, the open on impact broadhead with that big of a cutting diameter is going to cause a lot more damage and most likely, you know, kill the deer a lot quicker.
Mm-hmm.
Than a fixed blade. I know people argue that point back and forth, but I mean, I've seen it. I've seen liver hits where they go 100 yards and drop with a 2-inch cut, where an inch and an eighth cut, I've seen liver hits go, 400 or 500 yards.
Wow.
So,
yep.
You know, but it's like I said, you want your bow tuned. You want to be proficient with it, and you want to, we all try to make the best shot we possibly can.
Of course, of course. John, weather to hunt the winter bow, and by that, W-E-A-T-H-E-R, pouring rain, obviously, you know, but deer do move in that, I guess. Snow, I remember one time, shout out to the Mo Man! I was way up there at DMZ 7 or 8, I forget what it was, just a light little powder starting to drop. I said, Bates out. I said, I was an elevated blind with a heater. Okay. Yeah. I'm just saying. Now they're going to come in. This is great. What a picture, like a postcard here. Little snow. Didn't see a freaking thing. I said, maybe they went knocked. I stayed in that blind for a half hour. They never showed. But prime weather, you get out when you can, people. I understand that. Stormy weather, super winds, probably not. John, your prime winter bow weather, what do you like?
I really like like 2 days after a little bit of snow. I think they get acclimated. I think the snow kind of freaks them out, especially mm-hmm. the first one of the year like we just had. I think it freaks them out a little bit. They're not used to it. I think they hunker down.
Mm-hmm.
But then a couple of days afterwards, that hunger pain starts to take over. And, you know, I've always found that a couple of days after snowstorm, and if you get a little warm up, I mean, people say, oh, you got to have freezing cold. It forces them out to eat. I mean, I always liked a little bit of a warm up after a cold spell with mm-hmm. a barometer reading about 30.2. And it seems like all of a sudden there's deer everywhere.
Good point. Good point. Well, John, let's get to the United Bow Hunters of New Jersey. Listeners, incorporated in 1974. I remember when the organization started, and John, organization's doing a yeoman's work at protecting the rights of not only bow hunters, but hunters and trappers, I mean, outdoors. It's a constant flanking motion fight with the antis, correct? Because they have bottomless pockets, and they are relentless.
Oh, they are terrible. They base their stuff off of emotion. We go by science. Listen, everything needs checks and balances. Populations need to be, maintained due to the carrying capacity of the land. And, it's all by art. We have some of the best biologists on staff in the state, and they're the ones that make the recommendations. And one of the big things that we try to do as an organization is educate the non-hunter, because
perfect.
Less than 1% is anti. About 1% are hunters and fishermen. You know, that middle ground, that the majority is the non-hunters. And mm-hmm. if you educate them why conservation is needed and hunting is a tool in that, trapping is a tool in that, when bad legislation comes up, they're the ones that you can get on your side and prevent it from going through.
And the UBNJ is at the fore with that. Well, John, you're also the organization is very community-oriented, especially for the needy. Go into some of the things the organization did this year alone.
Well, a couple weekends ago, we had the Hunters Giving Back weekend. We held a Toys for Tots archery shoot where we collected toys to help the Conservation Officers Foundation Toys for Tots drive. And that weekend, we also collected food for local food bank, which we delivered 15 bags of food the other day to one of the local food banks. And we also hosted the Hunters Helping Hungry trailer that weekend and put several deer in the trailer to process to be distributed to food banks. You know, we're trying to help out those less fortunate. We know this time of year is a lot of hard on a lot of families.
Mm-hmm.
And we just want to do what we can with the resources that we have to help give back.
John, fantastic work. John Earn, listeners, United Bow Hunters of New Jersey. John, to find out more about this organization, website, Facebook, Instagram, give the info, bro.
Website, www.ubnj.org. Our Facebook is United Bow Hunters of New Jersey. Instagram is United Bow Hunters NJ. And, you know, you can join our organization through the website. And, you know, we put out a publisher magazine, which our new one's coming out probably within a couple of weeks. It'll be in members' mailboxes. You know, I mean, I'm proud 40-year member of the organization. And I feel we do a lot of good for hunting in the state.
And your second stint as president, do you have any hair left, Arnold?
No, I'm completely bald.
There you go, man. There you go. Yeah. Well earned. John, thanks for your tips. Listeners, the do's and don'ts, winter bow. My biggest tip, because of my big ass, is that's garage door blind.
John, yeah, look it up, John. I tell you what, they're worth looking into.
Have to look it up. John, great success during the winter bow season. Hope to run to you soon in one of these events, bro.
Absolutely. Same to you.
Take care.
Merry Christmas and Happy New Year.
And to you and Lorraine. Kick ass, man. We'll see you soon.
Thank you.
Saturday morning in the locker room with Billy Schwein. The Eagles head to our nation's capital to take on the Commanders. A Birds win clinches the NFC East. And we'll get the keys to the game with Fox 29 News sports anchor Scott Grayson, brought to you by Blitz's Market of Ocean City. The Flyers drop the puck at 12:30 against the Rangers. We will preview the matinee. Plus, we'll get our high school athletes in the spotlight with Fran McLaughlin, brought to you by the Philly Pretzel Factory of Egg Harbor Township. It's the locker room with Billy Schwein, Saturday morning from 10 a.m. to noon on 97.3 ESPN.
Rack and Fin Radio with Tom P on 97.3 ESPN.
That was, Johnny Arnold, United Bow Hunters of Jersey, great organization, great deer hunter as well. Some do's and don'ts on the winter bow season. Winter bow season to me is absolutely fascinating, challenging. What about Tom P, the second rut that is, actually, I think is still going on from what we saw out there. It was Weymouth Furnace, baby. Saw some activity out there. Join us on the line right now. Frequent guest on Rack and Fin Radio because, one, he's a very cool guy. Two, he's extremely knowledgeable. Three, great hunter. And four, just a very cool guy. Is Ron Jones, president, owner, ACP Rednecks Pride Outdoors with Second Rut and scenting the second rut. Again, it's going to go probably carry into the winter bow season, even a tertiary rut. You hear that three times. That's when we saw some fawns coming up. Coming out of Cape May County. I think mile marker 16, 17 northbound. I love it. Dee Marie says, check that out. Look at it. We're on the side of the road on the median. Two fawns that couldn't have been the size of Cocker Spaniels. Spots in a whole bit. I think the first or second week of September. What's that? Third rut, possibly. Whether they survive, we don't know. But join us online right now. I get two verbose in this. It's Ronnie Jones. How you doing, Jonesy?
Hello, Tommy. How you doing, bud?
Lock, cocked, and ready to rock. Winter bows coming up. Now, a lot of hunting still going on. Again, in those other DMZs, winter bow is going to go till February 21st. But, Ronnie, right now, let's scenting this second rut. Are you seeing any indications of this happening yet?
Oh, yeah. Last week I had a couple spots where the some scrapes was being worked. So we're figuring probably next week or the week after you'll see scrapes here, yonder, and about from here on out. Just because not every doe falls into that calendar time frame. You know, every doe has a peak when she's coming in on her own. Mm-hmm. And then it's 28 days after that if she's not bred. So, you know, we'll see. You'll see scrapes here, yonder, and about for the next month.
Well, let me ask you this. In your experience, though, are the Bucks, they're like old guys. Hey, the opportunity's there. Not as, for lack of a better term, reckless or as single-minded as during the primary rut, like late October, November?
Yeah, it's an absolute. And again, I think we haven't seen a primary rut. I haven't seen a primary rut in years, meaning, you know, that 3 days of just high pressure,
uh-huh.
you know, kicking tail, you know, Bucks acting stupid. You know, in many years, I've seen more what we call the trickle rut effect.
Go into that, please.
Well, that goes into what you just said about on, you know, seeing those two fawns in September.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm seeing a lot of times in August, especially August, I'll see, you know, a little fawn that's, you're looking at the thing and you're saying, crap, you're only about 2 weeks old,
yeah.
right, type
mm-hmm.
thing. And when you count back on the gestation days and all that, that puts you into a lot of breeding being done in January and February and possibly even into March. So that effect right there is I think, creating the trickle rut. And again, I'm not a biologist, so I can't say this documented in research-wise, but it only stands to reason if a doe is born later, then her hormonal time clock becomes later, I would think, and I've talked to a few people that agree with that. So that would create the effects that we're getting right now.
Mm-hmm.
Plus your bucks, you know, your poor old boy, he can only handle so many women at one time, you know?
Right.
So especially when you get higher doe populations versus buck populations, it's just more tending that's got to get done. And he's tired out, dude. I mean,
yeah, Ron, let me tell you, I'm going to relate something here, a little anecdotal, for lack of a better term, evidence here. I guess it was about the third week in January. It was a couple of years ago. We were hunting out the Milne area. You know where that is, correct? And yeah. Here comes this spikes coming in, and a spike, nice, not the little 3-inch, I mean, spike, 10, 12 inch. And the deer says, yeah, I'll take that. It's probably our last chance to hunt for, you know, for the winter bow season. We didn't get the permits for up north, just scheduling. And he's coming in slowly. He's furtive, looking here, looking, testing the wind. He's coming up, yeah, bait spread around. He's coming up. All of a sudden, his head snaps to the right, and I look and say, uh-oh, just saw right through there a little doe flicking her tail. He looked at the food. He looked at her. He says, well, that corn ain't cutting it. Turned, never saw him again. And that was the third week in January.
Yep. Well, another indication is when you see a deer walking, and I call it stiff leg. The doe is walking stiff leg and the tail straight out. You know, mm-hmm. that's an indication of heat cycle there. Plus, when you get the snow, and you probably see it up north a lot where you have the snow. You know, in December and January, you mm-hmm. see a deer track, and you see the little red spots.
Right. Yep.
In the deer track, you know. So again, when we're dealing with a rut that is not that, you know, used to be the 3 days, you know, November 10th type thing, and you just sneeze the wrong way and sound like a grunt and the deer come flying in, you know, hair bristled, the whole kit and caboodle.
Uh-huh.
We haven't seen that in a long time. So when you don't have all these does coming into heat at the same time, I think you have a less likelihood of the buck being stupid. Okay. It's, you know, he's, if he's not competing with a bunch of other bucks and really going hard on that one doe, then he's not going to be that stupid. I mean, he's got his hormonal desire, but he ain't going to be dumb. All right. Especially a bigger buck. If he's made it 4 years, he's not stupid.
So Ron, again, sending tactics for that. Do you go into your making, it's very successful. That you do in the fall, making the mock scrapesing, or are there different scenting techniques, tactics that you're doing now?
Yeah, that now I call it post 6 day. That's when sense for me anyway really fly into action. Sense and calling and rattling, and again here's where I get myself into trouble with a lot of guys because
what else is new, Jonesy?
But you know I'm out there. Not as much as I used to be, but you know, 15, 20 years ago, for 3, 4, 5 years, I was out there every week, all year long, just testing scents and calls and rattling all year long. You know, not in the season year long. It's all year long. I was out there at least once a week, if not twice a week, just putting things to action and seeing what the deer actually do. And that's when I found out, you know what? Male is a male. Okay. <Yeah. laughs> And if he thinks he's got a chance of getting lucky, he's going to do it.
I'm glad you said the L word. You said lucky. Chance of getting lucky. Okay.
Whether his rack is on or not, you know.
Uh-huh.
But what I've learned is that when you get into this time frame now, okay, he's recouped just a little bit from the first rut. You got does coming into the heat cycle again. The pressure is off a little bit with competition, meaning, you know, 6 day firearm came through and a lot of bucks was taken out of the picture here.
Right.
So he's going to take advantage of any situation he's got. He's rested up. You know, he's eaten, but if chance happens, it chance happens.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where the scenting works really, really well. You know, but method is the key here, not just throwing it out there. You know, a lot of guys are going to throw a hanger out straight upwind 12 o'clock, and then they wonder why they're not seeing deer.
You said that for my benefit again. So Ronnie, I'm a slow learner. Come on, that's why the sides of my head are dented from the nuns when I was a kid.
Well, we tend to think magic in a bottle. You know, that you either think deer scent don't work at all, and that's what got me into deer scent manufacturing back in 1990. I didn't believe deer scent worked. I was an invisible hunter back in them days, and you killed deer by wind, and you killed deer by knowing them. And I still believe that. You kill deer by wind, you kill deer by knowing them. But if you know how to use scent and know what scent is supposed to be doing because you know your deer, then now you have a better chance of it working rather than just throwing it out there willy-nilly type thing. And, you know, I tell people all the time, the good deer hunter knows how to use the tools that aid in taking that deer. It's not magic in a bottle. It's understanding behavior and habits. And that's the key. So mock scrapes, absolutely. Just put one in the other day.
Mm-hmm.
The key is, I'll call it baiting, but it's not. I use the deer stuff too, the dry attractant.
Mm-hmm.
I put that down to bring the does in. In other words, I want the proper English, I guess. Mm-hmm. I want the doe there. I want them coming into that spot. So if you're using bait or you're using dry attractant or whatever you're using, you don't use it to feed them per se in your brain. You use them to create a habit to come check it out. The more they come check it out, the more the chances of them being there when you are there. Meaning if the doe is there, then the buck is going to be there.
Okay.
All right. Even if she's not in heat, they're social animals. And that's the key. So I put out a dry attractant deer stuff too. And then that keeps the deer in the area. Then when I want to use the scent, I'm going to use a drag for the most part. And I'm going to drag on my flanks. Mm-hmm. Don't drag upwind. Please don't drag upwind.
Yeah.
I get the horror stories every year. Guys say, man, I had the biggest buck of my life come right up to the back of the tree. And I look at him and said, he licked your step, didn't he? And he goes, yeah. the key is you drag, it's what I call the J hook. You drag out on your left flank, you drag out on your right flank. And you come in on your flank at the 4 o'clock position or the 7 o'clock position. No man's land is between 4 and 7. That's the big clock. You're in the middle. 12 o'clock is upwind. 6 o'clock is downwind.
Mm-hmm.
Drag in on your left or right flank. Come out to the 2. If you're coming in on the right-hand flank, coming in around 4 o'clock, you drag up to the 10 o'clock or the 2 o'clock position. Now you got your. Now you can see the deer out of the peripheral vision, and then I put a hanger at the 2 o'clock position. Then I'll come back around on a J-hook, 15, 20 yards. If I'm hunting with a shotgun or slug, I'm going to be 75 to 100 yards.
Mm-hmm.
All right. And then I'm going to swing out around at the 2 o'clock. I'm going to swing back around to the 10 o'clock, and I'm going to put another hanger. And then I'm going to come right on into the 9 o'clock position and come straight into this tree stand. So I made a J-hook, if you will. You can do it to the left side or right side. Doesn't matter.
Now, Ron, the scent you're utilizing, is it, I guess, your version of Doe and Heat? What's the dealio?
Yeah, it ain't more, with this stupid banning, and I'm not happy with it. Oh, no, I'm happy. I'm pumped. I'm tickled pink about the stupid regulation. But the reality is PC Plus, which is my real stuff, guys are still screaming Fordsboro out in Ohio, whatever. I can't make it. But what I did with my TC4 is the exact same lure without the real deer. In other words,
right.
So it's working not as good, but it works good. And I would rather have my TC Plus rather than my TC4, but it's working. And I'm using that imitates the desire for the male. The old timer or something like that is going to be hung at the 10 and 2 positions. That's more curiosity and deer desire, if you will. Cover sense is an absolute.
I was just going to ask you that. You need the cover scent.
You have to. I will not hunt without a cover scent. Now, I've got. It's funny. I got my own cover scent. I call it 1898. It's actually our forest and fields with a little bit of smoke added to it. Now, that's for me. Okay, that's what I use. But most people like forest and fields, pine, dirt, cedar, whatever. Now, what cover scent does is not what most people thinks it does. That wasn't good English, but it's true. Most people envision cover scent as taking human odor away. You can never get rid of human odor away. You cannot take a human odor away. What you can do, though, is create an illusion to make the deer think that the human odor was here, but it's not here now. I don't know if that's making sense to most people or not, but in other words, every deer has smelled humans in New Jersey. And every deer has watched humans walk right past them. And every deer can age scent or odor better than my dog can. And I get guys arguing with me about that, saying, you know, they don't understand what I'm saying there. And I'm saying, well, you ever run a rabbit down a rabbit? And they say, yeah. I say, well, how's a rabbit dog know which way the rabbit ran? Because he can age the scent, in other words.
Ron, I've seen that, you know, because we used to have beagles. And how do they figure out this, figure out that? And you said, you know, how to age the scent. This is Ron Jones, president owner, ACP Rednecks Pride Outdoors, sending tactics for the second rut, which is going to be going on. Not starting out, it's going to be going on again, probably during the winter bow season, when those does that were not mated yet are now susceptible. Ron, for more information on the ACP Rednecks Pride Outdoors, where do you go? What do you got?
RednecksPrideOutdoors.com is the easiest way to go.
And how many times are you going to try to get out winter bow with your schedule, bro?
I'm trying to get out muzzleloader Saturday. Hopefully I can get out Saturday and what have you. But I go out to kill deer. I'm like you. I'm not out for the big horns. I'm out for the meat. So if I go to take a deer.
Dude, I got a shoulder roast in the crock pot waiting for me. Okay, Ronnie, you take care. Best of Don and everybody.
All right, buddy.
See you, man.
All right, take it easy. Bye-bye.
His sense, his calls, amazing. Okay, up against a break. Be right back. Rack and Fin Radio.
This is the radio home for Philadelphia Eagles football. The Eagles continue the 2025 season later today in Washington against NFC East rivals, the Commanders.
But looking, here comes the rush. He's running. They've got him. They sack him. Nolan Smith. And that could be it for the Commanders.
Eagles radio network coverage begins at 4 p.m. Merrill and Mike call all the action starting at 5 p.m. This is where the Eagles play. 97.3 ESPN, South Jersey's Eagles station. Rack and Fin Radio with Tom P. on 97.3 ESPN.
That'll do for this weekend on Rack and Fin Radio with me, Tom P. Thanks for tuning in. Merry Christmas to all. I'll give you the Happy New Year on next week's show. God bless America. God bless our troops. God bless our first responders and law enforcement. Remember, get out there and enjoy Winter Bowl coming up. Get tuned up, man. It is the time of year. Man, these deer are at their high alert. Best challenge going. See you next week. Rack and Fin Radio.